whoever that is. Sadie, that's Steve Brookstein there. Very summary, isn't
oh,
it?
Oh, that's a
isn't it?
Great
isn't it just
song.
Like being out in the sun with a beer or a glass of wine, you've got the music on?
Well, the thing is, we did that with a song on my second album, 40,000 Things. We had a song called Every Kind of People, which is the... and we did that, I did that with Maxi Priest, and I felt, oh man, this has got to be a hit. We never got round to releasing it, it's just the way things go, but it was a summer tune. And the same thing with Sadie, I mean, that could easily be a summer...
Who did the original? Who's the original
band? Oh, that's the Spinners. The reason why the album was called Forgotten Man was not, obviously, it's a little play on a little bit of a... I know what social media is like, I know what the press are like, and the idea of doing an album called Forgotten Man, I knew it would have some people's reaction. People wondering what, you know, it's, oh, look, here's Forgotten Man, who, Steve, who? I know public perception, I'm not an idiot. So, I thought I'd use that because it wasn't actually about that. It was there's a song by David Ruffin called Forgotten Man, and it's a beautiful song, and it did make me think when, you know, David Ruffin left the Temptations and the perception of who he was and what he was, you know, his issues with drugs and his personal problems, and you had so many great soul singers that you don't ever hear of and people don't know of. They may know the song, like Sadie, but even that, I mean, it was covered by R. Kelly back in the 90s, and the lead singer of the Spinners at the time was Felipe Wynn, who did that vocal, and more famous for Ghetto Child, which is a great song. And I just thought, you know what, these are great people that you don't hear of anymore, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I was very much aware of where I was, so it kind of just it just worked that I did a song, an album, Forgotten Man, with all these great soul sings, and I thought, you know what, that's happened to me, and it's just nice to be able to just do these songs, hopefully justice, you know.
Do you remember your very first gig?
For many years, I still do it actually. I've got an agent that I still keep in touch with, and that's over 25 years ago, and I still keep in touch. And he had a little bar that he ran. He did the entertainment for this little wine bar in Rains Park in SW19, and it was called Winners. Funny enough.
Right.
And it was my first gig, and because I'd taken years, I decided to take sing lessons first. I'd do a bit of karaoke, but I wouldn't get out and sing for money.
Yeah.
And expect to be paid and be rubbish, you know. So I just thought, I took sing lessons, and then I ended up buying a PA system, a pair of PVs, Hisis 2s, right, which people, you know, for the old school, but they were big.
Were they wheels, or did you have to carry them?
They were heavy. and people know how big these speakers are. They were just about fit in the car.
Yeah.
And they had these tiny little speaker stands, and they'd wobble about. And I took them in, and I did a gig. And it kind of didn't go down that well. It was all right. You know, people thought I was okay. But I don't know whether I was choosing the wrong songs, you know. But I haven't changed. I just sing the songs I want to sing. I don't do stuff I don't want to do.
Yeah.
You know. And that's what I did. And it got better, and I sung better. You know, funny enough, I did If You Don't Know Me By Now, which went down well.
Yeah.
Which is a song that I did on that show.
Mm.
Anyway, but yeah, so it's it didn't put me off. I thought, you know what, I love this, and I got paid money to sing.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, you can't beat this. So my main job was being an estate agent, which I didn't mind it. You know, it was a job.
Yeah.
But the love of getting up on stage and just singing the songs that you enjoy singing, once you've got the bug, you just don't want to stop.
And it's also one of those things, unless you have dragged a PA round or packed away a drum kit, you don't know what you're missing.
Because
that is a proper thing of going somewhere, and you can be in a bar or you could be doing a company do, and sometimes people listen, sometimes people don't, but you still give as much as whether you're playing at Wembley or anywhere else, because it's still an audience.
Well, that's the thing, you know what, that's the thing I used to do. I mean, I did some right dodgy little bars and places that you think, oh god, I've had stuff nicked out of my motor, but you know, while you're packing up, as you're putting the stuff in and going back, stuff's going out. So that's quite amusing, but not the time wasn't. But the thing about doing those sort of gigs is that you would get up on stage, sometimes it wasn't even the stage, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you'd be in the corner, set up your speakers and you're singing songs. And it might be one man in the dark, guy in the corner, but the people that are there and they do love what you do, make it worthwhile. But the second thing is when you close your eyes, if the sound system is great, and I'd always go out with a good PA, and it'd sound great, and I'm enjoying it. And that's maybe it's a little bit narcissistic, but the fact that I'm listening to this, man, this sounds wicked. If I was in this audience, I'd love this gig. And that's the sort of, that's how I'd listen to the music. Mm. And I'm listening, and as long as I could sing the song well, and I'd pick some songs that people, I'd do some old ballad, Luther ballads, that people don't really want to hear in a pub on a Friday night. But I would love it, you know. And that's what I would get out of it. And I would close my eyes, and I would imagine being at Wembley.
Yeah.
So when I eventually did sing at Wembley, It wasn't hard. I wasn't nervous because it's exactly what I imagined.
Yeah.
And I've read these psychology books, and I know how much the mind can play tricks on you. So what you imagine you've done, you've actually done. So anyone out there, whoever imagines singing at Wembley or playing football at Wembley, it does. I know the reality is there is no reality. You don't have to worry about reality, because what's in your mind is all that matters. Because once you've done it, the reality that I've actually done Top of the Pops and I've done Wembley, that doesn't matter if I have or have not.
Yeah.
Because I believe I have, therefore I have.
Mm.
It's unfortunately, that's that. So when I did do all these things, and when I was in the pub singing, it's so close between the reality and the fiction and what your mind can play tricks on you, that I've learnt to understand that it doesn't matter whether I do stuff or not.
Now, I'm going to play, actually, a track by Luther Vandross, because I know that you are a massive fan of Luther's.
Yeah.
So, when did you first sort of discover Luther Vandross?
Well, I mean, when I was at school, I had some friends that are into Luther. And I remember the first Luther album I bought, which was Give Me the Reason, which is quite late because he's done a few albums before then.
Yeah.
Those ones I kind of got on cassettes, you know, off mates of mine. House Is Not a Home, I think, that was one that really got me. Never Too Much, obviously, in the clubs when we was going out, would listen to that. But it was the ballads, is, you know, anyone that had it. And Give Me the Reason, I remember I bought Give Me the Reason and Anita Baker, Rapture. And those are the two albums I bought. And I'd met a girl that I really liked, and she didn't really know me. And I just went home and I stuck those two albums on and sat on the sofa in the dark. And I just sat through both albums, and it was just the most amazing day. Amazing day. And that. But anyway, what song have you got?
I'm going to play it for you now. I'm not going to tell you. I'm just going to start, so you see if you recognise it, okay?
Okay. Busy.
Straight away.
I love this track.
This is Luther Vandross with Busybody. We'll be back with Steve right after this.
For you to believe me, I wish you would stay.